She's pregnant. Just let her be pregnant. Just write it into the show.
See, I hate pregnancy storylines. I hate them. I hate them so much. Like,
yeah, I just still think it's better than I think writing a pregnancy into the show is like better than.
I hate it. I disagree.
Okay, well, we agree to disagree. If we're ever show running together and somebody gets pregnant, we'll fight about it then.
I really disagree.
I think you just write it in. I think just let her be pregnant. Welcome to Do We Still Dig This, the podcast. I'm Georgia Gove.
I'm Grace.
I love that it's just Grace.
I'm sorry. I barely like saying my first name. So I like that you clarified that it was the podcast rather than
rather than the famous TV show.
Yeah, the feature film.
The art installation.
The concept.
Yeah, the concept.
Just the concept of Do We Still Dig This? That's kind of what we're about. What are we talking about this week, Georgia?
This week, Grace, we are talking about...
establishes our names.
Grace. Establish our names a second time. Mm-hmm. This week, we're talking about the show Psych. Mm-hmm. The very popular USA show. Was it a USA show? I think it was. Mm-hmm. The very popular USA show Psych.
Yeah, true. This one was... very popular, still pretty popular. They've done a couple of movies now, right?
Yeah, which I've not seen.
I think I watched the one that came out like 3 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah, they're like made for TV movies, right?
Yeah. They're not like movies, but like, you know, they reunite for like these specials and yeah, people love this one. This is one we can definitely talk about in a in a sense of everybody knowing what we're talking about.
Yeah. Most people, I feel like a lot of people know Psych. It's a good show.
It is a good show. I have to say that, like, right off the bat, it is really one of the better police procedurals out there. Like, if you're going to watch a police procedural.
Yeah.
If you're going to watch this genre, I would say watch Psych because it's top tier.
Yeah, it's interesting. So for those who don't know Psych, who are listening to this podcast right now, the whole concept of Psych is that Sean Spencer is kind of like a mentalist.
James Rodet.
Yeah, James Rodet. He's
James Rodet Rodriguez. It's his actor name now.
Oh, fancy.
He claims his heritage now.
Is he Hispanic?
He is.
Oh, exciting.
He is Latino.
Oh, that's cool. Because he looks very white.
He does. But yeah, I think that's why he wanted to like now, because I think he's on a show now. I forget what it is. It's like a, you know, one of those like ABC, whatever shows. And I think that like now as an actor, he's like, well, I've always been seen as white, but like I am Latino. So like he wants that to be like part of his identity, like more of his identity.
Yeah, now. Put that out in the, yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I'm sure he had like, you know, people telling him back in the day, just like pretend you're white. You'll get more roles, which sucks.
Exactly.
In our society.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, James Rodet Rodriguez plays Sean Spencer, who is kind of like a mentalist type character where he just, you know, like he, his dad was like this cop and like the 70s, whatever, and kind of like trained him from a young age to be like super hyper observant, and so he has this ability to, like, you know, this kind of like magical realism ability, if we're honest, to like see things and remember, you know, like, and to like, you know, just really see everything in a crime scene.
Yeah, it's definitely a TV level ability. Yeah. To notice things.
Yeah, and clock them, you know, like a Cam, what was it, Cam Johnson, like those books, like she used to take mental pictures with her mind.
Oh, she was like a girl detective and she had a photographic memory. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do remember those. Yeah, I don't know what her name was.
Yeah, I think it was Cam Johnson. But anyway, sure. so he's like kind of that ability where he can just like spot things that other people can't, and so anyway, he ends up pretending to be a psychic and works for the Santa Barbara Police Department as a in-house psychic.
Yeah, the pilot is that he ends up opening this detective agency with his best friend, who, you know, they have like a very buddy cop dynamic of like one's silly and one's serious, you know.
But they're both kind of silly.
Definitely.
Like, the best friend, yeah. Gus, is played by one of my favorite actors of all time, the lovely Dulé Hill.
Of all time.
Of all time. I love him. Honestly, Dulé Hill is one of the greats. I love Dulé. He's very funny. He's great in that show.
Universally loved also. Like, yeah. Just nobody doesn't like him.
Yeah, except for probably racist, but like, well, they don't like anyone.
I, you know, I don't acknowledge them as people.
No, they're not people. They're subhuman. But everyone who counts loves Dulé Hill.
Exactly. No, because he was, you know, he was on the West Wing. He was already like, I feel like when they got him, like when they like booked him for this show, they were probably like, oh my God, you guys, like we got Dulé Hill.
It's like, a fun role. It's a really good role for him, too, I have to say.
Gus?
Yeah. Gus is a really great role for him. He's so funny.
He's so funny. He is literally the funniest part of the show. And I've always said that. Like, I was like, it's funny because James Roday Rodriguez, J.R.R., as well.
Tolkien. We're blowing it open. He's J.R.R. Tolkien. Reincarnated.
Conspiracy theory time. But like he just, you know, his character as Sean, he's the silly one, you know, so mm-hmm. he's able to like be very goofy and very funny. And they give him all of the like, you know, typically funny roles and lines and stuff. But like Gus is just truly, he's the funniest character. He has so many throwaway lines and so many, like, if you just watch him in any scene, like, he's literally, like, the sleeper, like, you know, he's, like, the low-key star of the show.
Well, his reactions to Sean's craziness is what makes him funny in the first place, you know what I mean? Like, is what makes, like, what Sean says funny to begin with is like Gus reacting to
right
to what's happening.
Yeah, because he plays the straight man, but it's like a little bit more than that. You mm-hmm. know, like they definitely like they gave him more to do than just be the straight man. Because I would actually, you know, I'd argue that like Lassiter is kind of really the straight man.
Yeah, yeah. Lassiter is definitely the straight man of the yeah. of the show. He's like the cop, like the kind of not bumbling, like, but just like way too eager cop.
He's kind of like, I can't really think of like another character to compare him to, but he definitely plays into a lot of like older television show cop tropes, I think, of like, mm-hmm. well, we gotta do it this way, and I'm the guy, and blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah, just kind of he's kind of a prick.
Yeah.
And like it's interesting looking at it through the lens of like knowing more about like bad cop practices now. And like yeah. how, you know, and the system of policing and how bad it is. Because I have yeah. to say, like, I mean, like all of these shows that are police procedurals, as much as like I love so many of them, like Columbo and Monk and Psych, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you know, it is all kind of copaganda totally. In a lot of ways.
Yeah, we were having a whole conversation off air before we started about, you know, the police, abolishing the police and... you know, all that. And then we were like, all right, let's talk about a police show.
Let's talk about a police procedural show that we love.
But yeah, no, they are, you know, I feel like we should definitely say that right up at the top. Like this is one of the literal like keystone, what do you call it? Like one of the key, you know,
elements of
just one of the bricks in the foundation of copaganda on television.
Yeah. 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 Police procedurals were like so hard to avoid because there's so many of them. Like they flooded the airwaves and they are entertaining. Like watching somebody, mm-hmm. I mean, like you know, it all stems in a large part from, like, you know, like Sherlock Holmes back in the day and, like, yeah. stuff like that, where it was like,
yeah.
you know, where it's just like watching somebody solve a crime is like very kind of cathartic in a lot of ways. It's just like, oh, somebody did a bad. It makes you believe
it's easy
in
watching.
It's easy watching. And it yeah. kind of makes you believe in a black and white world where there are bad people and there are good people, and the good people and the bad people deserve to be.
Yeah.
brought to justice, when yeah. the reality of the situation, the world, is a lot more complicated than that, and police yeah. procedurals kind of gloss over the reality yeah. of it.
Psych definitely operates on those values, like, here are the bad guys and here are the good guys.
Exactly.
And it also is primarily a comedy, so mm-hmm. there, you know, there's not really a ton of nuance. I mean, there's like episodes where it's like, you know, you don't know that the criminal is the criminal at first. Or, like, there's episodes where, like, because doesn't Lassiter, the woman he eventually gets married to, like, they have to arrest her at some point because she did something and, like.
Yeah, she's, like, in prison for a yes. while. She, like, did yeah. something illegal and she's in prison. Yeah.
So there's definitely stuff like that. But it operates on those sort of very black and white morals that most, if not all, cop shows do.
Yeah.
Psych also was part of this. I feel like this era, like, that it came out, there were, like, a lot of them. I don't know if that's just, like, that my TV watching habits have changed. But, yeah. like, it felt like there were a ton of them during this time, specifically. Like, in the mainstream.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of them. They, like, really did flood the airwaves. Although, I mean, like, police procedurals have been, like, a part of TV watching for a long time. I mean,
yeah.
Again, Columbo, there was, you know, it's just kind of been, like, a standard of TV from, like, almost the beginning, I would say,
mm-hmm.
you know? And there was a big explosion in TV in our time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, you know, true. Like, there were a lot more networks and a lot. So I think there were more police procedurals. On just because they're kind of like an old standard for television. Like, people tune into them because, again, they are entertaining to watch and they are cathartic in a lot of ways. So it's like, it's easy watching, and networks know that. So I think they're just like, mm-hmm. they're booked a lot because it's easy. Because they're exactly. like pretty sure that this is going to make money. Oh, this is a police procedural, except one of the people has a very deep-seated OCD, or, you know, like, it's just.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always, like.
It's just like a slight twist.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the twist on this, you know? So it's like, you know, it's going to, there's going to be, I feel like there's, you know, unless society drastically changes, there's probably still going to be a lot of, like, police procedurals on the airwaves, just because
yeah
it's like a pretty sure bet for if you were like a network, it would be a totally. Pretty sure bet that this is gonna be popular.
Yeah. And I think that the majority of, like, our country still believes that the police do good work, you know what I mean? Like, they want to believe in this world that yes. these shows posit, like, and I think that that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. I mean, I think that it's, you know, and I think a lot of the people that are watching these shows don't really have direct contact with police.
Probably not.
You know, like, it's probably very popular among, I would say, mostly white populations.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would agree. I'd agree with that. Did this come out before The Mentalist?
They reference The Mentalist.
They do. And I'm pretty sure they reference it because The Mentalist came out after, and they, like, make inside jokes about the fact that The Mentalist is, like, quote unquote, copying them.
Yeah.
I think that it did. I think that this came out
first. I think it did, because The Mentalist came out in 2008.
Mm. Yeah, this definitely came out first then.
Yeah.
When was the pilot? I forgot to look that up. Oh, 2006.
2006. So, yeah, 2 years before The Mentalist.
I also didn't really rewatch any of this before we started talking.
I watched a ton. I watched an episode right before we got on the airwaves.
That's good. I rewatched a lot of it not that long ago, like, maybe last year. I started rewatching it, and I got pretty far into a rewatch. So I was like, oh, I feel like it's fresh enough. Like, I you know, I watched it last year.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Psych was one of these things that you and I really, we really bonded over. Because I think in a lot of ways, we kind of totally felt very Sean Spicer or Sean Spencer. Ooh, Sean Spicer. Oof. No, take that out of my mouth. God, hate that man. I feel like you and I felt very Sean Spencer Gus-y, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who would we be, though, out of them? Like, I feel like that's not a clear...
No, I think we're both a little bit of both.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. Like, I don't think we have a straight man, funny man dynamic, really. No. But, yeah, totally. Like, I feel like we sort of connected with that, like, silly best friends. Like, they've been best friends since childhood. And, like, they just get into, like, these wacky situations. And I feel like you and I were just like, yeah, that's us.
That's us, yeah. Whether or not it was true, it felt true. And that's all that matters really in the end, right?
Who do you think would be, who would be better at faking being a psychic, do you think, out of the two of us?
Neither one of us are very observant, so I think neither. I would say neither.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just like, thinking about like faking the
faking the gift.
Yeah,
faking. Probably you, actually. I feel like you would be better at faking being a psychic.
Okay. Sure.
Who knows? But yeah, we were talking about Lassiter earlier, and I kind of do want to talk about Lassiter because you know, he's like that grumpy but ultimately good cop kind of character, kind of trope, but he's also an asshole. And like, oh my God, the amounts of time that he jokes that his lines are like, I'm gonna shoot this guy. You know what I mean? Like there was an episode I was watching about art.
Yeah, he's very aggressive.
Very aggro. And I'm like, this is not age well on a shooting level.
Yeah.
So I was watching one episode. There's like multiple where like pretty much all of them. He's like, I'm going to shoot. He's like too amped to shoot somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one I was watching that was about art theft. And he was like, he's a very dangerous criminal. Meanwhile, like there was no proof that he had ever killed anyone. So he's not like, he's just stealing art, which is bad, but on the level of like of crimes, like not dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
Dangerous is an overreach.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of jokes about Lassiter just being insanely intense about punishing criminals.
Yeah, and like wanting these like harsh sentences, and it's just very it's very kind of, his character is kind of gross in retrospect.
I think the
actor is very funny. Like he plays that straight man role very well.
Oh, he's great. I think we should also mention that he is the evil leprechaun from Luck of the Irish.
Yes.
The hit Disney Channel original Luck of the Irish. I don't think that character would fly today as a comedic character. I mean, you know, maybe, but like he definitely was born of a time where we did not have this awareness about police and
we didn't, at least, you know, the society at large did not.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, it's very, I, you know, and I hate to say it like this, but it's that it's trendy now to like be against, you know, the police as an institution. And I just feel like television does profit off of those trends, like whatever's like the current social justice movement. It kind of like goes along with it, whether it believes it or not. And I feel like Lassiter's character couldn't come out as a comedic character to the same audience today.
No, for sure not.
I do like Lassiter in those moments where he has to, you know, play against Sean, or, you know, they have a great dynamic.
Yeah.
Because he hates Sean so much.
He hates Sean, but he also, he's like, he knows that Sean is bullshitting. Like, he's like, there, I have, like, that's what the whole intro song is like, I know, you know that I'm not telling the truth. I know, you know, they just don't have any proof. And like, that's Lassiter. Lassiter knows that he's lying about being a psychic. He's like, there's no fucking way.
Okay, can we talk about the fact that the female characters are the ones that are supposed to believe that he's a psychic? Like,
yeah, that's a little problematic.
How does Juliet the whole time? Then they date. They fully are in a relationship, and he's still lying to her. I'm like, hello?
Yeah. Well, they break up towards the end, don't they? I never made it to, like, the full end of that series.
I'm pretty sure they, like, reconcile. End up together.
Yeah, they end up together because they have to, because it's a fun show. It's not a sad show. It's a fun show. But, like, I remember the episode where she, like, finds out that he's a psychic or finds out that he's not a psychic, that he's been, like, lying the whole time. And I'm like, girl, you didn't know? What? You're a bad cop, man.
I guess we're getting into does it hold up territory here. I guess we can just transition right into that. Not that I, you know, don't want to continue talking about it as a show, but honestly, on rewatch, that was something that bothered me a ton. I was like, okay, I understand that there are, like, in order to keep going along with the world of the show, there have to be characters that believe him. You know, we have to have main characters who are going along with his ruse. But, like, why did you do that to the love interest? And why did you only, because we had two main female characters, which were Juliet and the chief.
The police chief.
Yeah, who I love. I do love.
I know. I love her, too. In the first season, she's pregnant. She's, like, very, very pregnant.
Fully pregnant in real life and on the show.
Yeah, just very pregnant. And they don't make a big deal out of it. I was like, that's pretty progressive, actually. That is just, like, she's a police chief. She's very, you know, authoritative. Mm-hmm. She's also very pregnant.
She's extremely pregnant.
Super pregnant. Like, that's pretty dope, actually. Like,
and I know it seems like we are being exaggerating to be funny. No, she is extremely.
She's like 8 months like pregnant during filming.
The baby.
Like, she's like super pregnant.
I think it's like they do have continuity with that as well within the show, because she goes on maternity leave and then she has the baby at some point, and then she's there's like an episode where they, you know, she's hiring a nanny. So they like kind of continue with the continuity of that, which I appreciated as well. Yeah, I think they just like they were like, well, we really love this actress and we want her as the chief and she's pregnant. So we'll just go with that. What were we talking about?
We were talking about does it hold up?
Right. No, I mean specifically.
And we were talking about the women characters in the show and how they believe that he is a psychic.
Right. No, I think that was like upon rewatch, that was my biggest issue, was that Juliet believed him the whole time. And I was just like, I understand that it makes sense for her character because she's a very good-hearted character. She's like a pretty like pure she's a lawful good. She would probably fall into lawful good / lawful neutral territory.
Yeah, I feel like Lassiter is chaotic good.
Oh really? I think he's like lawful neutral because he always wants to kind of follow the rules, but like sometimes he does them for his own game. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think you may be right. I don't know. I still think he's kind of chaotic.
Yes, he can. Yeah, he can be. He can be. I mean, Sean definitely falls into chaotic neutral.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean is chaotic neutral.
For sure. It's just an interesting reflection because then the main male characters are the ones that either know for sure or believe that Sean is lying, which is the truth. And I don't know. It's just an interesting reflection on the show as far as like, and I think that Juliet and Chief Vic are like pretty good female characters.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. You know, they're badass ladies. They're doing it for themselves.
Yeah. I have to say, I think the Chief is my favorite recurring female, like female male main character. In the show. Yeah, I love the Chief.
I do love the Chief. I love her because she like she likes them. She likes Sean and Gus, but she also has no fucking time for them.
Yeah, she doesn't put up with their shit.
Yeah. She also puts Lassiter in his place a lot, which is a good dynamic. What are your thoughts on how it holds up? What were your, I mean, besides propaganda?
I mean, it's the same. I mean, it's still like a 2000s era show. So it's still got like the same issues that I think we bring up every time, which is like, is it a little transphobic?
Yep.
Yes. Is it a little?
Oh, wait. Can we talk about that episode where, I think it's the first season, where the guy thinks his ex-girlfriend is breaking into his house or like threatening him. And then it turns out to be he has multiple personalities and one of them is a woman.
Yeah.
What is that episode?
I don't know. I forgot about that episode.
That episode lives in my mind rent free. I'm like, what? Who wrote this? Why did
there's,
they
I mean, there's so many. I mean, like, it goes back to, like, you know, like, that was their episode of that because they do a lot of, like, takes on, you know, like most comedy shows, like, do kind of spoofs of famous movies, TV, other TV shows, whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of their Psycho or their Dress to Kill, you know, where it ends up being a man in a dress.
Right. True.
You know?
True.
And like, in Dress to Kill, Michael Caine had like multiple personality disorder and like dressed as a woman and killed people.
Right.
So like, that's like kind of an old chestnut of the genre.
Mm-hmm.
Like a very transphobic old chestnut.
Very transphobic one. Yeah, I think we also should mention that Psych did a lot of homages and direct parodies. Like that was really their thing for a long time. They love 80s movies. They love
They did a lot of like 80s.
Yeah,
spoofs.
They love classic horror. They did a lot of classic horror homages, like direct homages, not just like,
yeah,
you know, the episode that we were talking about, but like directly playing off of it. So that was an interesting aspect of the show as well.
Yeah, and I loved, so Psych always, not always, actually they didn't in their pilot episode, I don't think, but like whoever had the idea to start off the episode in like in the 1980s, like 1986 or whatever.
Right.
Where it like showed like Sean and his and Sean's dad. And sometimes like little baby Gus, you know.
I think a lot like later they did a lot of him and Gus, yeah. It was always so funny when the actors would randomly change because they would get too old.
Yeah, they would get too old.
They would have a different actor.
Yeah, that was funny. Where it's like, we don't know. We've suspend the disbelief. We believe that these children are the same.
There were like three or four Seans.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a bunch of different Seans.
Yeah, yeah. Just a parade of Seans. But they would go back and like show something. And they would put like a toupee on that actor who played
Corbin Burnson, yeah.
Yeah. It looked pretty good with the hair.
He's a handsome guy.
But yeah, it would be like Sean's dad telling him something that like was then relevant to the episode, you know? It was like,
right.
You know, teaching him something like cop-wise, like a skill, and then that would become relevant later on in the episode. I have to say about like one of the things that I do think holds up is like the relationship that he has with his dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how it's like at the very beginning of the show, it's very strained. It's very clear mm-hmm. how strained their relationship is. And then like over the course of the show, it kind of gets like repaired, you know, like they
mm-hmm.
end up like having, you know, a somewhat contentious at times mm-hmm. relationship that is a little strained, but like, you know, it's like their relationship gets like repaired little by little. And it's kind of nice to see.
I also really like the way that they deal with the mom, because mm-hmm. I feel like they could have just written that the mom was dead or something, you know, like they could have very easily.
Or they could have just made her a complete cunt and they didn't.
Yeah. But there's like a ton of nuance there with like his, like he loves his mom so much. And like, also like, do we see this trope very often where it's like the mom leaves and the dad's stuck around and he's mad at the dad? You know what I mean? Like it's a little
yeah.
bit of a trope reversal, I think, than what we usually see. So I liked that. And he like loves his mom so much, but she's also flawed. You know, like there's nuance there that I really appreciated when they deal with the Spencer family. And I do love Sean and oh my God, what's Corbin Burnson's name? What's the dad's name? I'm blanking.
I don't remember now.
Wow, I'm really blanking.
You gotta Google it.
gotta look it up. Oh, wait, I've got... Oh, Henry Spencer.
Yeah, and what I love about the Spencer family, too, is that it's very clear that Henry still loves Sean's mom, whose name is also escaping me. Like, they still get along, and they still, like, love each other. I forget why they got divorced. It might have been because he was a cop or something, and that was just, like, too hard for her.
There was something about her career. That was the other thing, too. Like, she had a prominent career as, like, I think a psychologist, and there was something about that their career tracks didn't mix, and she had to, like, go because of, you know, she had these opportunities or whatever. I'm pretty sure that was something along those lines.
Yeah, and it just ended up, like, breaking their relationship up. But they still loved and respected each other. I don't know. I like that.
Yes.
You know, so showing, like, that divorce doesn't have to be this, like, super contentious thing either.
Yeah.
And that, like, there can still be some love there.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't play up the drama divorce. The divorce drama. So, yeah. So I think a lot of what made Psych really special and interesting to watch all the way through a lot of times instead of just, like, episodic is, like, a lot of the character progression that they wrote in and, like, the nuance to the characters. Now, granted, a lot of that was Sean.
Yeah.
they really stressed Sean and Lassiter's, I think, too, stories more than other characters, which, you know, white men. Yes. But, but, you know, it is, you do really get attached to the characters. And another thing I love, and I think that credit probably goes a lot to the actors as well and how much chemistry everybody had together. But, like, even, like, Gus's relationship with Henry, like, you can really, there's a lot there that you can tell, like, oh, these people have all known each other for, like, decades. You know what I mean? Like, it, and I think that's something that you and I were also, like, and could still connect with today. You know, that you and I were like, oh, like, they have this, like, funny relationship with the parent, like, kind of like you and I and my mom, like, you know? So I think that a lot of that just, like I said, maybe credit to the actors, which with, like, how much they all really got along and, like, worked on their characters and knew their characters. But, you know, big props to the writing, I think, on that.
Yeah.
As well, because it just was such a... Everybody's dynamic is fun and funny and believable. So,
yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do want to talk about, so, like, some of the hijinks they get up to is, like, very funny. I mean, when we signed into the Zoom room today, you, like, the quote that you had, because Grace, when she makes the Zooms, she'll, like, a lot of the times put a quote from the show, and it was like, Gus, don't be a wet sponge with a hair in it or something. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I love the specific, there's a lot of things that, like, Sean will say like that are very specific, like, you know, Gus, don't be a spaghetti noodle with one bolognese or.
Yes.
That's not a real example, obviously. I was not a writer in the room, but.
No, that is a great running gag. And they have a ton of other running gags, like their Wait For It and, like, all of that just became, and all the crazy names he gives Gus, like, all these things became like super iconic things about the show that I feel like really enhanced, like, what the fans loved about it and why people still love it today. The pineapple, you know, like, all of these things, like, there were just so many iconic things, and the, you know, the crew just obviously loved the show so much and put so many little, like, things and Easter eggs into nuggets. It and, like,
so the pineapple is that, for people who don't know, is that there is supposedly a pineapple hidden in every episode of Scrubs or of Psych. Scrub Psych. There's, like, a pineapple hidden somewhere in every episode of Psych.
I don't know that that's 100% true, but it definitely, I think that they did it a lot. I think that they put pineapples in there a lot, but I don't think it's every single
episode. I told myself when I was rewatching to double check and see if there's a pineapple in every episode, and then did I forget every time? Yes. So I don't know for sure.
No, it was definitely I'm sure if you, like, Googled it, like, it'd be like oh, here's the pineapple in every episode. Like, here's all the episodes that the pineapple shows up.
Yeah.
No, I think it came from, wasn't it from the pilot where he, yeah, like, Gus has a pineapple in his apartment and Sean is like, should I slice this up for the road? And then they, yeah, just, like, were obsessed with the pineapple.
I know. Yeah. I think it was an ad lib. You know, I think he like, yes, picked up the pineapple and it was an ad lib and he was like, should I slice? Because they just had a pineapple as part of the set design. But yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I think it so much. So then it became like kind of a thing. And I mean, like, a kind of a reason why you and I just became like, it's like much like the bees, us being obsessed with bees, like, yep, stemmed from Invader Zim. Us being obsessed with pineapples, I think in large part stemmed from Psych.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, I have a, I just saw this recently because I was going through stuff and you had bought me a pillow cover, like a decorative pillow cover that is a pineapple. And then all around the pineapple is like all of the names that Sean gives Gus.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Yeah, I remember that. And that was
treasure
a good gift.
It. Yeah, it was. I treasure gift. It. I obviously treasure it because I left it in a box for many years and then recently was like, oh, this.
Oh, this thing. Well, I feel like when, as you get older, not everyone, because some people have like giant Funko Pop collections, but like. Oh my
God, don't get me started.
But I feel like as you get older, you know, like I don't have as much like fan art around my house anymore.
Yeah, of things. Definitely. Yeah.
I think that was a thing that I did when I was younger. And now it's like, you know, it's like I've got other interests.
Well, you know, like real art exists. And yeah, like, that's good, too.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, no, we definitely had a pineapple obsession born from this show. There was a lot of pineapple, just random pineapple merch, not even merch from the show, just like stuff that had pineapples on it that we bought and obsessed over for a while.
Yeah. Yep.
Because
yep.
of this.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to talk about, because a while when we were talking about doing this episode, we talked about how we're like Santa Barbara is a kind of like wealthier. It's not, yeah. It's like a medium sized city. It's kind of like a wealthier city.
It's a pretty, yeah, there's a pretty high median income.
And
yeah.
So like, but like, according in this, in Psych, there was like murders all the time.
Yeah.
Just like
pretty much every week.
Murders. And so we looked up the statistics.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
I forget what year this is from. It doesn't say. But like I looked up the murder rate and it says two. It says two. Two murders. I'm assuming that's like in a year. I don't know what the year is for this. I'm assuming this is in like 2021 or something.
That's
or
20, very
or 2020.
Funny. I do feel like they shied more away from murder than other cop shows. Like, some of their crimes were, like, more creative with, like, what the crime was. There was, like, the mummy one where it looked like the mummy was, like, arising from the dead and walking around.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, definitely more murders than I think Santa Barbara has maybe ever seen in its, its lifetime.
Yeah. Again, I don't know what year this is from. I'm going to assume it's, like, 2020. But it says, with the Santa Barbara violent crimes, with the population of 91,364, the murder rate is two. The total report of murders is two. Robbery is 84. Assault is 266. There's another statistic that I'm just not going to read out because it's I don't want to say it on the podcast.
Okay.
You can guess, okay. But it's just like that's pretty low.
Yeah,
pretty low
in
terms of, I mean, the assault rate is 2.91 per per 1,000, so it's pretty low.
I wonder why they picked Santa Barbara specifically. But I also am obsessed with the fact, I'm obsessed with this every time I watch it, that they actually shoot in Canada. And you have to look for, like, the fake palm trees that they had to put in.
Wait, what? And there's,
like, yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
I think
Canada?
Yeah, they're in British Columbia, which is where a lot of the CW shoots. So I think, is USA owned by them? I forget, but
it might be.
A lot of the CW, a lot of TBS, a lot of USA shoots up in British Columbia, which is in Vancouver or near Vancouver. I forget. Anyway, but yeah, I think I learned this by watching the commentary one day because I had the DVDs for a long time. I don't know if I still have them. Maybe. but there was one episode and they were like, oh, yeah, you can, like, very clearly see, like, a mountain range in the back of this shot. And, like, they all start, like, laughing. And then they were talking about how they would always have to, like, dress the set in certain parts to, like, look like there were palm trees. And, like, so, yeah, they faked California.
That's wild. That seems like more effort than filming in California.
I don't know. I think it's tax reasons.
Yes, that they, for sure.
Go up there, and
that's mostly what it is usually,
and just land reasons. There's just more land to, like, shoot on. But that's why the one episode you were talking about, the one with Cary Elwes where he's the art thief, that's why that takes place in Vancouver, because they were like, oh, we want to actually do an episode where we shoot on we're in the location that we're actually in. And they go, like, skiing and stuff. But yeah, it's very funny when you rewatch it, and they do a good job.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job. I wouldn't have guessed. It looks like California.
Yeah, and they shoot a lot at, like, the docks and stuff. So it looks like, you know, oh, this is the, you know, the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Well, I'll keep an eye on that now.
Fun fact.
I'll know that for the future. Also, can we talk about, like, Sean's shirts at the beginning of the show?
His shirts?
Yeah. Have you seen, like, oh my God, you have to go rewatch the beginning of, because me and Tucker were watching, like, season one, and it's, like, so 2005, like, Ed Hardy weird 2001 oh, yeah. shirts.
I feel like wearing. he has a couple of those, like, baby shirts. You know, what were those, that style for men that was, like, a very tight fitted, and then they had, like, the little embellishments on the collar and sleeves, kind of, but they were just, like, a plain sort of almost baseball t-shirt. Like, he had a bunch of those. They're, like, very feminine.
Yeah, there was some Ed Hardy ass looking shirts. Like, there was one that was, like, a polo shirt up front and, like, I don't know. It was just, like, cut, like, a cutout polo shirt that had, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just, like, half polo shirt, half regular t-shirt. I don't know. It was, like, weird. I was just like, what is he wearing?
That's such so a bad funny. Look. They also had Dooley Hill in a lot of blazers in the beginning. I feel like he was in a blazer every other ep.
Well, he was working for a pharmaceutical rep at the beginning.
Yeah. No, they dressed him appropriately. But yeah, it was, like, a lot of blazers that, like, didn't quite fit him very well.
Yeah.
And then, like, later as they went on, they gave Sean more of, like, a loose fitting flannel look. And then Gus, they would just have in, like, a nicely fitted, you know, work shirt and khakis kind of thing.
Yeah.
I know. The wardrobe in the beginning is very funny. I do.
Yeah. I do well, and then towards the end, James Renner, James, what is his face? James. J.R.R. Tolkien. But James Roday Rodriguez, he, like, gains a lot of weight at the end of the show. I remember that.
Yeah, he definitely gets more of, like, a stocky build. He looks good, though.
He doesn't look bad. But I remember being like, oh, you gained some weight from the, like, from episode one to episode, to, like, or season one to season six.
Yeah, they're very twink-like in the pilot. Him and Gus both are—they're like little babies.
They're very thin, Slenderman. Yeah.
They're little babies, and he's got his hair super. They super gelled his hair in the first
super
season
gels.
Too.
Super gelled. Yeah. I feel like it's a similar to Scrubs, where, like, JD's hair at the beginning was just, like, very gelled.
They didn't know what to do with
it. Yeah, they didn't
fucking Zach Braff's hair. Yeah, season one is, I would say, I think season two is my favorite, but I always love a season one rewatch. I just,
oh yeah,
because it really takes me back to the time that we were watching it. And
same,
it really, like, you know, it's very much early to mid 2000s vibe, and I love it. I really love it.
It's funny. It's funny because, like, you know, like, Juliet learns that he's not a psychic so late in the show, which is dumb. But, like, it's also, I feel like he kind of drops the act of being a psychic in the later seasons. Like, there's less of the of him being like, "Ooh, I'm having a vision."
Yeah.
He's just, like, being a detective at some, at a certain point. Like, he's doing less of the, I sense this, you know?
Yeah, true. I mean, I think it got gimmicky, and they just, like, wanted to do other things, you know, with the characters and stuff. And they probably just didn't want to harp on it too much with, like, the whole, like, hand to head. I mean, they did a lot of, like, they started making fun of themselves really early.
really quickly with it.
With the shtick, which was another part of the show that was fun. They did poke fun at themselves a lot.
Yeah, it's a very fun show. I really like Psych on a rewatch.
It's a good one. It really is. It's so enjoyable. And, like, there are just some moments that are funny no matter what. Like, it, and I think it's like a pick-me-up show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would definitely, I mean, there's, you know, elements of drama to it for sure. And there's relationship-y things. And, you know, they get into some, like, personal drama because it's a network television show. But, like, yeah, I think mostly it's just, like, it's a feel-good show. I'm like, I, you know, put it on when you want to feel better, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite things is that, like, even though Sean is doing these ridiculous things, and a lot of it involves, like, pretending to be different characters, and then, like, and then Gus has to play along and be a character, you know, like, he's like, "My name is Scooby-Doo-Bop Jones, and this is Hands Jordan," you know, like.
Yeah.
But, like, then, like, Gus will do, like, a little jazz hands thing, or he's, like, playing along, you know, it's very.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very fun, their dynamic, because Gus is, like, as much as he's like, "This is a dumb idea," he's, like, also like, "But ride or die, man, I'm down with you to the end."
Yes, that is totally their dynamic. Like, Gus doesn't necessarily want to be in these situations, but they definitely are. Like, he's like, "Well,
yeah,
this is what we're doing."
Like, this is what we're doing. And one of my favorite things too about Gus's character is that he knows so much about, like, they write his character so that he knows so much about these, like, weird specific things, like the spelling bee, or or, like, you know, like the regional tennis championship or whatever, you know, like, he's, like, very in on these, like, kind of, like, goofy, nerdy things that and I love that about Gus's character too.
Yeah, he has a lot of random knowledge. Yeah.
And one of my favorite lines that Gus says, it's kind of like a line that he uses more than once, but he'll like, when he's, like, flirting with somebody, he's like, "You hear about Pluto? Fucked up, right?" Or, "That's messed up, right?"
"That's messed up, right?" Yeah, they did that a couple of times. I think that episode where Sean's working at the planetarium and Gus has a crush on that lady and he says that. I think that's his real wife. I think that's his real life wife. I think so, if I'm not mistaken. Because a bunch of times they had people's real partners guest star.
I love that.
Yeah, I don't know why that was, like, a trend. But and then James Roday and who played Juliet?
I don't know her name.
I think it's Maggie Lawson. They dated for, like, a long time. And they, like, during the show.
I feel like that happens a lot, is, like, love interests end up dating. The lines get blurred, you know?
Well, they had really good chemistry, I have to say. Like, they have, out of any, like, will-they-won't-they heterosexual mid-2000s couple, I have to say they had pretty good. To compare it to, like, Bones, you know, they had a lot of, like, Bones and whatever David Boreanaz's character's name was. There was a lot of, like, "Ooh, sexy," like, "Whoa," like, I don't know. They played a little bit too much on the sex appeal. And I feel like they didn't really do that too much on Psych, mostly because it was a comedy, but also because they played a lot more on like Juliet and Sean's like friend dynamic, which I think is also good. It's, you know, it's appealing.
Yeah, there was a lot of, I mean, like in that very early 2000s sense, it's like every, especially when like neither Gus nor Sean were in a relationship at the beginning, every single hot woman that came along there, it was like a flirting dynamic or like, you know, so like that, I was just like, God damn, the early 2000s.
Well, I think they wanted in the beginning, especially, they really wanted to like Sean's character to be like a player who's like, you know, hasn't committed to anybody. Like they really wanted to stress that aspect of his character, because in the pilot, which Juliet is not in, it's Anne Dudek.
It's a different
House fame.
Who was like sleeping with Lassiter, apparently.
Apparently she was supposed to be like a, you know, that was supposed to be a whole storyline, but she didn't test well and they wrote her out. But yeah, they have Sean like solve a case because he's like hooking up with a waitress and he sees something on the news. Like they really, I think in the beginning, like wanted this aspect of Sean's character where he's like a huge player and like women are really,
which is very funny because like that is not who he ended up being, you know.
Oh yeah, he's like a huge dork, like
yeah,
he's really not, like, I mean, he's a handsome guy, but yeah, I think that there was this aspect of his character in the beginning that they kind of thankfully dropped more towards towards the end,
because
I actually really like when he gets together with what's her name, whoever the like his first,
oh yeah, what was her name, it's like Angela or something,
was not Angela. the girl from the high school episode, I forget. Yeah, but
Kathy, nope,
Christina, it is not, nope,
I feel like it's Angela.
It is not, it is definitely not Angela. But it might start with an A.
I feel like it starts with an A.
It's not Angela, though.
Angie.
It's nope. But but yeah, like, I actually, like, I appreciate their relationship. I think they, like, while they did give Sean, like, other love interests and, like, do a lot of that whole, like, oh, he just flirts with every woman, like, you know, they gave him, it was a little bit more than that. It, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad they made him more dorky. He was definitely a huge dork. He also had like a motorcycle at the beginning.
Yes, he does have a motorcycle, which they reference at some point. They like make a joke about it. Like Gus says, like, "Oh, I have a motorcycle, but you never see me driving it," like something like that. And it's so funny. Yeah, they did. They had a lot of that where they just like knew their show and they knew their characters so well. And they would just poke fun at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So what's the lasting impact?
Yeah, that this has had on the culture.
Or do we think, you know, do we think that it has had?
I think to a certain extent.
Were we saying, was that you that said on the Scrubs episode, like, Psych is to the police genre as Scrubs is to the medical genre?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, totally. Like, Psych was just like, they were like, you know what? We're going to do a comedic hour-long police procedural, and I think it kind of changed the game. I think that they did a lot for the genre that wasn't there before. And is it a genre that I would like to last on television? No, absolutely not. But I think as far as like a good show that was well written and like
fun,
did fun things with its platform,
joked about murder a little bit, we didn't take it all so seriously. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Not that murder is a joking matter, but you know what I mean. We can have a little funeral laughter, morbid laughter. Anyway, but I do think that it is like it did have an impact in that way. I mean, I don't think there would be a Brooklyn Nine-Nine without, or a Reno 911 without Psych.
Reno 911, I think, came out
before Psych. Okay, well, maybe.
Because Reno 911 is on a like a completely other, it's in a league of its own.
That is true. Reno 911 is very good. Oh yeah, 2003. It did come out before Psych, so maybe like Reno 911 busted open that genre.
Well, it was a lot Psych was a lot more mainstream.
Yeah.
I think Psych had a really wide audience that it was able to speak to. You know, to their credit. I mean, it is, you know, white man creator, whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
Most of the things that we talk about are going to be white male creators, unfortunately.
We're going to find one that's not.
It turns out we were kids in the early 2000s.
Yeah. No, I think that it's one of my favorite shows. And I think that it has definitely had a lasting. I mean, you know, they're still pretty popular. Like they still, like I said, they still do like TV movies and stuff. So obviously people are still watching it.
Yeah. I mean, and I think a lot of the jokes, I mean, I feel like I still reference some of the jokes.
Definitely. And I think that a lot now, like even for like the problematic aspects of it, a lot of the jokes really hold up because they're mostly very clean, you know, like they're mostly they didn't do a lot of they didn't try to go for the offensive humor. A lot of the times they really played for like that clean middle audience, but like weird, you know, offbeat, but still, you know, I think that a lot of it in terms of humor, like does really hold up. Because
yeah, and I think they were trying to be progressive in some ways. I mean, I just watched like the episode where they went to like the old Wild Wild West town, you know?
Oh yeah,
there was like at the beginning in 1986 when they were like, you know, the whole thing was that Sean dug a huge hole in the base or in the front yard because because him and Gus were playing Wild West.
Yeah,
and his dad comes in and is like, "Oh, were you playing cowboys and Indians?" And he's like, no, it's just cowboys, Dad. Playing Indians is offensive. So I think they were, you know, like, I think they were trying to be more progressive.
Yeah, they definitely, there were things that they, like, didn't ignore or gloss over. That one of the Gus Don't Be lines is, Gus Don't Be the only black lead on a major cable network or something like that. And I think, at the time, Dulé Hill was like on TBS, but on USA, I think he was the only black lead.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Of like any show at the time that aired. So yeah, I mean, there were aspects of it that were kind of trying.
I don't think they, to their credit, I don't think they ever did blackface on that show, from what I remember.
You can't give them credit for that.
Unlike Scrubs, and 30 Rock.
I know, but you can't give them credit for not doing that.
I mean, I think I can a little. It seemed very popular in the early 2000s, unfortunately.
I don't think we should give credit, but I get what you're saying.
They don't get credit. They don't get credit. I guess it's like a one thumbs up.
Right.
Thank you for not doing that.
Unlike these other shows, you did not do that. So
you did not think that was okay.
The bar is slightly higher. No, and they had, I mean, you know, they had a female chief of police who was a mother. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. That's awesome. That's
pretty chill.
I think Chief Vic is a great female character in a police procedural show, and I don't know, I have mixed feelings about Juliet sometimes, but I overall really, really like her.
She's kind of the most blank character of all of them.
That's kind of the thing, is like they didn't write a lot for her. Like they, I was like, I feel like she can hit these emotional moments and you're not giving them to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they just didn't give her depth.
It was such a, because when you rewatch shows, sometimes you're like, oh man, that was a very dumb premise.
Yeah.
Like somebody wrote that in there at like 3 a.m. and they're like, whatever, we got to film an episode. But there was an episode where people who were working on a case were getting killed, like, or were getting attempts made on their lives, like Lassiter and what's his face, the other cop that gets referenced a lot, tall guy.
We didn't even talk about him. Yeah,
no,
I forget what his name is, but he's such a great bit part.
Yeah, he does like, he comes in for like little bits here and there.
Yeah,
but whatever his name is, like he gets his mailbox gets blown up.
Yeah.
And Sean and Gus had put their names on that case, even though they didn't really work it. And so, like, they were worried that they were also going to be targeted for mm-hmm. working on the case.
Yeah.
So they were working from like their psych office, and Juliet was like, oh, like was kind of trying to encourage Sean to get on the elliptical more. And like Gus comes in and Sean is like sweating profusely on the elliptical. And he's like, he can't, he like picks up his water bottle and it's like, if your heart rate goes 100 and goes under 150, you die. And so they thought that there was a bomb attached to the elliptical.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Juliet comes in and she's like, oh, I wrote this note to encourage you.
That's she's like, so
it's a
funny
thing my trainer does with me. And I was like, what psychopathic trainer is like encouraging you with death threats?
I almost wish they had leaned like more into that side of like Juliet's character. Like, you know, they give her these like little moments of like where you're like, oh, she's a little bit like cuckoo. But like, I almost wish they made her a little more, you know, gave her more to play with.
She of any of them, I think, honestly, is kind of the straight man, you know?
Yeah.
In a way, kind of like Bella is in Twilight, where she's kind of like the empty vessel that the audience can pour themselves into because all the right other characters are so ridiculous. But that's kind of unfair to her because she could have done some cool stuff too. Not that she didn't. She still had like some stuff to play with, but
yeah, you know, it's main love interest disease.
Yeah.
Where all of the character gets poured into the male lead and then the love interest is just like, and I'm also here.
And I'm here.
And
I am doing things.
And I'm a woman.
And I have titties. And that's fun for you.
Yeah. I mean, at least they didn't really do that a lot. They didn't really try to make her super sexy. She was more of a sweetheart.
Yeah, they didn't try to sex her up, which, yeah, I guess I do appreciate for what,
you know,
it's
like
worth.
Like how we were talking about with Elliot in
not that I mean, like, there was a lot of empowerment in that. We talked about it during Scrubs. Yeah. So there's a lot of empowerment involved in it too. It's a complicated situation, but it just shouldn't be the norm.
Yeah, I just feel like when it's written by men, like, it's not empowerment.
Either you're dumpy or you're sexy.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I do appreciate that Juliet was neither, you know, like, yeah, she's a beautiful woman, beautiful actress. And, you know, there were moments where she got dressed up or whatever, but they never tried to like be like, oh, she's sexy and that's why he likes her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So I guess last question. Do we still dig this?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to go with yes. Yeah, I guess I can also say that I like the Lassiter-Juliet dynamic.
Yeah.
They had a really fun, like, friendship where she was just, like, trying to get him to open up for a very long time and he never did.
Yeah.
And then finally they, like, reached a really, like, good point where they were friends. So I like that because, you know, I love a male-female friendship where it's, like,
yeah,
there's never any threat of, not threat, I shouldn't say that.
Threat of sex. There's no threat of sex there. It does kind of feel like threatening sometimes.
That was
like,
such
oh,
a,
don't, please, please, showrunners, please don't make these characters fuck.
That was such a Freudian slip on my part. I guess we all know how I feel about that now. But yeah, there's no like, you know, any sort of hint of will they or won't they. It's just pure friendship, and I like that about them.
I do think that there needs to be more portrayal of male female friendships that aren't sexual, that are just platonic.
100,000%, yes.
That was my biggest issue with like Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, was that like,
you've talked about this before.
I have, because it bothers me so much. They should not have ended up together.
I know, but I told you why, right? Like, we've had,
because audiences are stupid and they want people to kiss.
You can't ask, you know, you can't ask like the most major, you can't ask Disney to not do tropes. You know what I mean? Like, they're just gonna fucking do it. It's stupid.
It doesn't mean that I can't be mad about
no,
it.
No, and you should be mad about it.
So dumb.
There needs to be more dynamics where it's friendship or just not sexual. Just,
yeah,
not,
just completely
not romantic, not sexual. You know, the woman is not a prize, she's a person.
Yeah.
And
I do feel like they're doing kind of I feel like there's a lot of shows, especially like cartoons now, where now it's like female on female relationships that are just like are just like all the women are getting together now, which I'm not about, but I'm just like, I feel like that's the next trope coming, is that like, oh my God, are they gonna make the two female leads kiss again?
Well,
which is progress, but yeah. I mean, again, I just don't think that everyone needs, I don't think everything needs to end in a love interest.
That's an interesting conversation. I get where you're coming from. I think that what I can say about that is I think in general we need less romantic, like we need less stress on romantic relationships. Yes. I think that's,
yes, exactly. I think that's what I'm saying.
And there, my thing, not to talk about this for too long, but this is something I think about a lot. My thing is that most of the time, at least when I watch stuff, I feel like they write, like romantic relationships most of the time are written hollowly, and then friendships are, or like other dynamics are written very fleshed out. And like you want, like in a lot of cases, like you want those other characters to be together who they're claiming are just friends, because that's such a more interesting and fleshed out dynamic. And then the romance. Yes. And then the romance is so hollowly written that you're like, so like that's a lot of my problem with a lot of these like gay, these newer gay romances or, you know, queer romances, where it's like great that you're doing that. But then like, that other character will have a completely more interesting dynamic with somebody else where you're like, okay, but like,
yeah,
like question mark. Like it just, I don't know. It's interesting to me. And I think about this a lot when I watch stuff where like, especially with queer romances, because I'm like, I don't know. It feels hollow to me.
Yeah. It feels tossed in.
And it happens, you know, it happens with hetero romances too. So yeah, I don't know. That's a long conversation that we can have another one.
Yeah, I feel like
how I feel most of the time.
Again, in society, we, like you said, we just put so much stress on romantic relationships in general, yes, and not enough.
And like ending up with someone, quote unquote.
The longest and like most important relationship in my life is with like you or my sister. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's like those are the most important relationships, and we don't stress that enough. And I do think that is something lovely about Psych, is that they do stress the importance of Sean and Gus's relationship and their friendship.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful.
Very true. Full circle. Okay. You brought it back.
I did. I'm a professional. You professional. I'm a professional.
That was good.
That's my professional song. Just have a little briefcase, a tiny, tiny briefcase.
It's very small, though.
A very small, world's smallest briefcase.
Look how professional I am.
Just take out a magnifying glass. I'm like, oh, I see it.
See my documents? They're very small.
They're very small.
You have to have a microscope to read my professional documents. But they're there.
But I promise that they're there. And everything's in order. And so just sign on the dotted line.
Here's the world's smallest pen. So you can
world's smallest pen. But yeah, Psych is good. And it's fun. And just ignore the propaganda parts of it.
Yep. I would say if I could abolish all cop shows except for Psych, I would do it. You know, like Psych would be my exception. Like if a magic genie came to me and said, like, you can get rid of all cop shows except for one, and the cop genre won't exist anymore, I'd be like, great, Psych is my one. Like that would be the one I would keep.
Yeah, I love that in this scenario, the genie is like, they will all be destroyed, but you have to keep one. There's one.
Yes.
There's one that needs to stay.
Yes. Yeah, and I would be
very specific
with the consequences of that. As always, I really enjoyed revisiting this with you.
Same.
And I will probably do another rewatch at some point in my life.
All right. Well, this was lovely, and I miss you.
Miss you. I miss your face.
I miss your face.
I can't believe we're still using that as our sign off, but we have not.
Yeah, just I miss your face. All right. Peace.
Bye. This has been a G Squared production with your hosts, Georgia Gove and Grace Wilbur. You can find us on all the social medias at Still Dig This Pod. Our producer is Irem Dogan-Kali, and our music is Banana Snacks by Demon Garden. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.